just get in the right frame of mind. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I will not mine be done in this moment. Okay. just a reminder that we are recording the workshop. And that we are recording the workshop. So if you participate and come up and say anything, please just put your name and signature on the paper so he doesn't yell at me over there, the sound guy. Okay. So that's the business. So this workshop is it's titled Maintenance and the Gratitude for Having Maintenance and All Levels of Recovery. My thinking about the workshop is that I was going to speak for a bit. I was going to share my experience with maintenance on all levels and all different parts of the program. But I want to spend the majority of the time opening it up for questions, because I know when I was new or heading into new phases of my recovery, I had a lot of questions, and I didn't even really know, I had a sponsor and I could ask, but I always feel it's really helpful to have a place where you could ask questions that maybe you've been thinking about and didn't have a chance to ask somebody. And so I would like to open it up to question and answer the second half. So think about your questions. Sometimes people are nervous about asking a question, so you could jot it down on a piece of paper and I can get it from you, and then I could read the question. Anonymous, the anonymous part. So, but that's my thinking about it. Let's see how it goes, because you plan and God laughs. So we'll see what happens. So just to qualify, for those of you who don't know me, I have 31 and a half years of abstinence, one day at a time. And I've been maintaining for over 28 years with over 120 pound weight loss. So I earned my seat here. I belong here. I'm a compulsive eater, and I want to stay here. So everything that I'm going to share with you is what I've learned along the way. It's what's helped me. It's what has kept me coming and staying and still here. So first, I'd like to give you I call them my oh my God pictures, because when you look at them, you go, oh my God. At least I do. I don't have a lot of before pictures, because I was the person who always tore up the picture. When you took a picture of me, first of all, I didn't let you take a picture, but if you caught me, I was always the one that tore the pictures up. So one of these pictures I took out of my friend's wedding album. I didn't even know that she had it in there. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm taking that out. I don't want anybody seeing that, but I'm glad I have them, because sometimes words don't describe as well as pictures the devastation of this disease, right? But I'm going to try with my words as well. So one of the things that I was thinking about, I guess I'll sit down, so I'm going to hold this. In regards to maintenance, so there are certain words that, as a compulsive eater, I have a different definition than the rest of the world. So for example, the word diet. If you look that up in the dictionary, it's just a way of eating, right? It's just a plan of eating. But diet for me has a whole different meaning. Right? It's torture, it's deprivation, it's, I can't do it, it's you're withholding from me, the world gets to eat and I don't, that's my connotation of diet. And so I kind of stay away from that word. And I know we say we're not on a diet here, but the truth is we are, we're on a plan of eating, but because we don't say that because in my mind, diet is a four-letter word. So we don't say it. So I feel the same about maintenance. I feel like the word maintenance, we have a certain idea about maintenance that is not the norm. And so I will share with you that my first thought of maintenance when I got here and heard there was a maintenance plan was, oh, I get to have more food. I don't know about anybody else, all the heads are bobbing, right? So, oh my goodness, maintenance means that I don't have to really do this anymore. I get to just be and eat more food. So if you haven't reached maintenance yet, sorry to say that's probably not the case. maintenance to me also meant, well, first it was something I could never do. So I've lost over 100 pounds numerous times in my life. And I always say that maintenance lasted like a breath. because the minute I got down, I was up and running again. So I never really understood, like, even the idea of maintenance. It was something that was elusive, right? And all the diet plans out there, all the things that people offer for losing weight and all of that, none of them are geared towards maintaining, because then they lose their business, right? If you're paying for a weight loss program and then you don't need a weight loss program anymore, they've now lost a customer. So I kind of got that none of these were really intended for me to maintain my weight loss. And that's what I love about this program, is that is the goal of this program, is maintenance. The goal of this program is not to lose weight. The goal of this program is not, to fit in the same clothes. It's really to maintain a lifestyle that will keep me alive. Because I'm a compulsive eater, and I will die if I'm not abstinent. So how do I maintain that? So the workshop basically says the different levels of maintenance. So there's the food level. So just to talk about that for a minute, because that's probably the least important of them, because once the food is in place and you've kind of got your plan, I've definitely found in maintenance, from a food perspective, simpler is better. Simple, no complications. I don't make things look like things that I don't eat. I don't do any of those. I don't get bored with my food. I got an outreach call the other day. Said, "What do you do when you're bored with your food?" It's like, I've eaten the same thing for 10 years. Like, I don't get bored with my food. So keeping it simple, and the maintaining of the weight is the same as the losing of the weight. So when I first got here, I was told, you stay abstinent and losing weight is not your business. It's not your business how much you lose, how fast you lose it. Even your goal weight is not your business. Your business is to stay abstinent. And if you stay abstinent, that will happen. You will lose weight. Your body will go where it's supposed to be. You don't have to worry about it. But that's not your job. Now, that is a whole different thing from what I was doing my whole life, which is that's my job. I got to lose weight. I got to figure out how to lose weight, how to get to a weight. I got to figure it out. And I never could, because no matter what I picked and what I tried to do, I could never get there. So I stopped worrying about that, and I stopped worrying about getting to maintenance and getting that extra food or whatever it was. And I just worried about how do I stay abstinent one day at a time. And by maintaining my abstinence every day, I got to a maintenance goal weight, right? It just happened. Now, it took me over 2 years to lose the weight and to get to a maintenance, because it slows down. You know, when you have over 100 pounds to lose, you lose a bunch pretty quickly. When you have 10 pounds to that last 10 pounds, oh my God, takes forever. But you know what? I appreciated that, because I saw, as I was doing this, I saw a lot of people lose weight very quickly, get to goal weight very quickly, and feel they're done, and out they go. And I couldn't get to the goal weight that fast, which made me stay here, made me do the work. And by the time I got to maintenance, I was already an inventory sponsor, a step sponsor. I had already done 2 years of work. I already had been doing service and all of those things. So the maintenance of the weight loss and the abstinence is just rote, right? It's just what I do, like breathing, like taking a shower. This is what I eat. And then I don't have to worry about it. For me, so that happened. I've got on maintenance in 2 years. Well, I'm 31 years in here. So what have I been doing? Like, what's been keeping me busy here for 28 years? And that's the maintenance that I really want to talk about. The maintaining of, first, the emotional and mental health, because I came here a sick puppy, right? Now, I may not have a mental illness that is in the psychiatric book, right? But I am mentally ill from this disease. This disease has warped my mind into such insanity that I don't know up from down, left from right, fat from thin, you know, right or wrong. I don't know any of that in here. So for me, many, many years of my recovery has been on working on maintaining, finding a way to achieve and maintain mental health. Mental health living with this disease. So, for example, I had cancer many years ago, and I had to do treatment so that I could have health. So today, I do not have cancer, but I am someone who had cancer, and I take treatment for that every day. I maintain my health from my cancer by doing my treatment. And I do this program the same. I maintain my mental health every day by doing the work, doing the steps, doing the traditions, doing the living the principles of the program. And that maintains a level of sanity and of health in my mind that if I don't have that, I will eat again. Because I have a disease that if it's in charge, it tells me I don't have one. Or it tells me that I don't, you know, that I'm fine now. I mean, I've been maintaining my weight for 28 years. I haven't been fat body-wise. I've been fat in my head, but not body-wise in almost 3 decades. So why do I still need to like do the steps? Why do I still like need to work on this mental health? That's the maintenance that I work on every day. And I've had to go through phases because it's layers. Just like I had to lose 10 pounds, then 10 more pounds, then 10 more. I didn't wake up one day and have 120 pounds gone. So I don't get mental health overnight either. That was my dream, you know, go to bed and wake up 120 pounds thinner. You know, let me go to bed and wake up a normal person. Someone who doesn't, you know, see things skewed and doesn't have a disease of perception. But it doesn't work that way. So I had to do layers. So I had to do, I had to eliminate the craziness in my brain one layer at a time. And that's how I achieve an ability to maintain some sort of mental health. The next one is the spiritual, right? And maintaining a spiritual connection and a spiritual life. So this was harder for me because I came here, I don't even know if that I was agnostic or atheist, and I can never remember the difference between the two. I know one doesn't believe in it, one believes it doesn't exist. I can't ever remember. But I came with like a blank slate, like nothing. So I had to develop an understanding of a higher power. And as a control freak that I am, and the person who thought I was in charge and I was supposed to like run everything, that was challenging for me. It took me, I would say, probably 4 years to say the word God in a meeting. And today I still say higher power. My higher power is God, but it's my higher power. But that was also something that I have to maintain every day, because if I forget that somebody said to me early on, the only thing you have to know about God is that you're not it. And that's kind of funny, but that's really what I have to work on every single day, because my disease can tell me I'm it. I'm God. I know what to do. I know what I should do. And I'm in charge. And that's I call it the default button, that I default back to that idea. So I have to work every day to remember that I'm not in charge and to develop this relationship. And I remember I had about 6 years of abstinence, you know, when you're old, when you have, you know, 30-something years, you're like, way back when I was da-da-da. So when I was about 6 years abstinent, I remember sitting in a meeting, and this feeling came over me, and I started to share, and I started to cry, and I just shared, God loves me. And it's like, was the first time in my life that I ever felt lovable. Because I came from a very bad childhood with parents who couldn't deal, and never felt lovable. And I've been fat my whole life. I was a fat kid, so I was told I wasn't lovable. And I remember that moment, sitting in that meeting where this came over me, and I just said it out loud, God loves me. And that, you know, and that was getting me to more levels of maintaining some sort of sense that I'm not alone, right? Because as a compulsive eater, I'm sure I'm alone. Like, I'm the only one that eats out of the trash. I'm the only one that, you know, binges all day long. I'm the only one that goes through four drive-thrus to get the perfect meal. I'm the only one, you know, it's like I'm all by myself. And it was a moment where I just felt that I wasn't alone. And that was powerful. But I have to maintain that, because I could let that be fleeting, right? I could say, oh, okay, God loves me, and then go back on my merry way and do what I need to do. So I continue to work on that, because the maintenance of the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual all together is what gives me a life. And it gives me a life, you know, to be honest, I mean, there were times where I said, I just want to be happy, or, you know, I just want to be loved, or, I, you know, all these sort of wishes that I had, some in abstinence, some not in abstinence. But really, truly, that's not my goal. Some days I'm happy, some days I'm not happy. Some days I'm loved, some days maybe I'm not loved. I don't know. You know, it's like, it doesn't matter, right? To me, I work this program and I work to maintain my physical, emotional, and spiritual recovery so that I won't die. I know that sounds dire, but that's the truth for me, because this disease is life or death. And it may not kill me in a minute, like shooting up heroin into my arm might. You know, I may not overdose and die in a minute, but I will die from this disease, because when I'm not maintaining mental health, the disease is driving the bus. And when I'm not maintaining spiritual health, I'm not even on the bus, right? I'm not anywhere. So I wanted to do this workshop on maintenance, and I wanted to share, because in the last couple of years, the piece that I've been working on, because the work never stops, right? There's always more work, more healing, more learning, more all of that, that in the past couple of years, and I don't know if it's coinciding with COVID or what, I don't know what happened, but I got a deeper sense of how fatal this disease is for me, and not just physically, but mentally and spiritually, because I came here spiritually bankrupt and mentally ill. That's how I came here. And physically dying, right? So you put all those together, that is not a life. That is not a life. And if any one of those isn't working, isn't maintaining, like if I'm compulsively eating, then I can't be mentally well and spiritually fit, right? Because I'm eating. And if I'm mentally ill, then I can't have a connection with a higher power, because I'm crazy and I'm like running like a chicken with my head cut off, and I'm, you know, I'm doing crazy things that I think are brilliant ideas. I mean, I always tell people, if you have a brilliant idea, assume it's not and run it by somebody, because my head does not come up with good ideas unless I'm maintaining a level of mental health, which means following the steps, following the principles.